Talk about, you know, last week God put his finger on something that wasn't the message that I thought we were going to bring. He put his finger actually on James 5:13, is any afflicted, let him pray. That became the hot topic that God wanted to be brought forth to this congregation, to me and to you at this particular time. And what we're discovering as we consider that more and more is that there are a whole lot of people that are not in a relationship with God, not in a spiritual posture to where they can get answers to their own personal prayers. And God didn't want people to solve that problem by just doing all the praying for everybody, but teaching them how to pray. Can you say amen? And finding out if there's an obstacle between us and a God connection to where we can get answers. You know, there's an implication today, and I don't want to get too fast into this. There's an implication today that if you just write a check and you get into a seed for the need thing, that will do it without any other considerations. Because how do you know that? Because no other considerations are mentioned. No one talks about when you stand praying, forgive. Because if you don't forgive men, God won't forgive you. No one talks about that. That's an issue of the heart. That's not an issue of the checkbook. It's not about planting seed. It's about being right with God. The Bible said we know that God heareth not sinners. We don't mention sin and repentance in consideration of answered prayer. It's just writing the check. As if we have no sin and we need no repentance. And the Bible said we've all sinned. Come short of the glory of God. And if we say we have no sin, we're liars. We're not telling the truth. If we confess our sin, what happened? He's faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the scripture said, we know that God heareth not sinners. How can he? The wrath of God abideth on everyone that believes not. Amen. The justifiable anger of God is upon everyone who believes not. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. We don't deal with that issue. We just say seed for the need. You can bypass the sin issue. You can bypass the selfishness issue. You have not because you ask not. That's a lack of faith. That's an issue. It's not the only issue. You ask and receive not. You use your faith. But you receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on yourself. Selfishness will disqualify you from answered prayer. Can you say amen? I'm going to enumerate some of these hindrances to prayer in just a few moments because we want to get them out of the way. I sat with a group of pastors, and what we say at the table stays at the table in the personal stuff, but what we share in terms of testimony is for everybody to hear. So I want to share something that I brought to the table, or going to bring to the table Tuesday. I can't wait for Tuesday to bring it to the table because it's going to be good. My son has spent almost 3 decades in acute alcoholism. Alcoholism to the degree that he would eat a steak at night and not see the bones the next morning and not remember having eaten the steak. When he got delivered from alcoholism, amen, after 30 years, and I think I'm going to have to to regroup because if this is not going to work out with God. Hallelujah. We'll win this battle. Hallelujah. So my son spent 28 years in acute alcoholism. 28 years. And God set him free without delirium tremors, without being able, having to be strapped down. My uncle got addicted to alcohol and they had to go to the hospital eventually and they had to strap him to the bed. My grandmother wanted to know, why is my son strapped to the bed? And I had to tell her the hard, cold facts and truth that he's going through delirium tremors. His body is reacting to the withdrawal from alcoholism for just a few years. That's about 5 years of acute alcoholism did that to him. My son was set free immediately from 28 going on 29 years of acute alcoholism. Whom the son sets free is free indeed. But give God a hand. That's okay. That's what we ought to do. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Amen. But there's a second thing. The liver was damaged. The doctor told him, if you continue to drink, you will die very, very soon. your liver has experienced liver damage, and that's why he was passing blood. And there was internal bleeding, and he had hepatitis on top of that of the liver. It wasn't the kind you had to isolate, but the hepatitis had set into the liver. And he just went back. He's celebrating, I think, 4 months of alcohol free. But he just went back to find out how extensive the damage was to the liver after all of those years, and where he actually stood on a health prognosis. And when he went back in, the doctor was smiling. The doctor was being. I want to tell you the power of prayer. I told these preachers, I said, I don't want anything in my heart that will hinder me from getting an answer to prayer. And I don't want this little pat answer that's out here, these little shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. Amen. It's not just whether we write a check to a ministry or not. It's whether we're right with God. And the word is very clear. There are things that will disqualify you if you gave $1 million to a ministry. There are attitudes in the heart that God said, I won't hear. You can't buy answers, number one. Giving in obedience is God is blessing obedience. He's not just blessing the amount. That's proven with the widow's mite. But the doctor said, I have all of your report back. And the doctor is the one that put the fear of God in him, literally, when he told him, you keep drinking, you're dead. Your liver is damaged, and the enzymes and all the report from the liver, it's not functioning normal at all. It's beneath the level that it should be functioning already. And when he walked into the doctor's office, he said, young man, he said, your report is back. All of the enzyme and liver test report is back. And I want to tell you that the report is nothing less than phenomenal. Hallelujah. Phenomenal. He said all of your liver functions are above what they should be for a healthy liver. You're in the high end of healthy. He said something, if you don't drink anymore, something someday is going to take you out of this world. But he said from this report, it won't be your liver when it happens. Amen. It's functioning on that level. So he didn't just deliver him from alcohol. My son said, I got a double blessing. He said, I just didn't get delivered from alcohol. God in his grace has delivered me from the effect. And he said, Dad, I did it to myself. I have no one to blame but me. If the doctor had told me that your liver will never be the same and you're going to have problems the rest of your life, I would have said, well, I did it, and I did it with my eyes open. But he said, oh, Dad, God is so gracious. God is so merciful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I got a double blessing. Praise the Lord. The law came by Moses, but grace and mercy came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Does he deserve it? No way. Do you deserve it? No way. Can you receive it? Yes way. Can you say amen? God is a merciful God. We used to sing the song, he didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So answered prayer is important to me. Amen? And when I see people implying that you can get these answers just by confession alone, these things have a place. I'm not putting them down. I'm saying the attitude of the heart is more important to God than anything else in the life. Listen to me carefully. Let me read this from James 5, verse 16. Listen to this today. How many want to keep hearing about answered prayer? How many got anything in your life, your family, that you'd like to see God deal with like that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited by this. I want to see more deliverance. I want to see more healing. I want to see more phenomenal things. Oh, by the way, the doctor said, he said, and he's a doctor from one of these other countries like most doctors are now. I mean, I don't know. There must be 500 Patel doctors right here in Tampa. Amen. I go to Dr. Patel. Which one? You know? And then you read the first name. Isn't it something? It's not the last name. It's the last name is simple, Patel, but that first name with 26 letters in it. Can you? Amen. I would try to say my mother's heart doctor is something like that, and it's got this long. I would try to pronounce it to you, but I'm afraid someone would interpret. This is a Pentecostal church, and it's a Pentecostal joke. No one else would get that. Amen. You got it. All right. Confess your faults to one another and pray. Oh, let me finish. This doctor is obviously not necessarily of the Christian faith per se, but he used the term God three times to my son in describing this report. Because he knows that what has happened to my son, him as a medical doctor looking at the test before, looking at the test now, something occurred between then and now. And it didn't occur because of treatment. It occurred because of a supernatural act of Almighty God. Can you say amen? This is a healing for the liver. Praise God. Amen. I don't want to listen. Some people get real uncomfortable when God puts his finger on things in our life. The reason he puts his finger on is not to condemn us, but to get those barriers to his blessings out of the way so that we can truly come to God and get answers from him. We were on the spot last Sunday because God is saying, if you can't pray, why can't you pray? If you can't get an answer, what's standing in the way? For heaven's sakes, let me deal with that. Let me help you deal with that so that we can open the windows of heaven, praise God, toward our life. I need answered prayer. I just don't need a history lesson of what Jesus did on the shores of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. I need answers. Hallelujah. My son needed that. These preachers got so excited over answered prayer. We pray every Sunday, but it's the answer that excites people. Amen. We're used to praying. We're professional prayers. We pray over the food. We pray the benediction. We pray over all kinds of different things. But when answers start coming, we get excited. Because our God is proven in the answers. Amen. Let the God that answers by fire be declared the true and living God. Let the God who answers, hallelujah, praise God. God wants to be distinguished from the gods who are no gods and the gods that man have made instead of the God who made man. God wants to be distinguished from these gods and world religions. How does he want to be distinguished? Amen. Who has a God like our God? A God so nigh us in all that we call upon him for. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. When that answer comes, not only are you delivered, but God is glorified. Can you say amen? My son has been delivered, but God is being glorified. Hallelujah. So they asked me, what did you do different than you did? I said, I continued to do what I was doing, but I did it with more fervency and more frequency. Everybody say fervency and frequency. I didn't just skip a day here and there because everything was going in reverse. I quit skipping a day praying for him. I prayed for him every day. How did you remember to do that in the busyness and distractions of life? Well, when I said my prayer over my food, I included the deliverance from my son. You say, well, that's not... Why don't you need to get off in the woods somewhere and just do battle and warfare? No, I need to just keep praying. Amen. Don't complicate it. Yeah, that's it. Don't make it make it something it isn't. Can you say amen? You may not see it. I wish I'd brought it. I'd passed it around to you. So I got it somewhere. My wife posted it, and she asked me for a caption to put with it so we could put a spiritual thing. There's a little boy praying, and there's his dog right there at the bed with him with his eyes closed, looking up like that. And I got to bring that picture, get it enlarged. It's already on the computer. It's beautiful. My wife asked me, said, and the dog evidently watched him pray so much, this little 8 or 9 year old boy, that he decided to mimic him. And this big dog, big as the boy, got his paws up there, got his head laying down between his paws with his eyes shut, and a little boy's like this and the dog is like that. She asked me for a caption, and I got it from Max Lucado. The power of prayer is not in the one who prays, it's in the one who hears. Can you say amen? The real issue of prayer is God listening? Can he hear you in the sense of, do you qualify for an answer? Are you praying according to my will? Can you say amen? We've made it a faith issue, as if there's a force of faith in us that makes God hop to our tune. God hops to nobody's tune. Can you say amen? He is not manipulated by our faith. He's not going to answer according to your will, but according to his will. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. The power of prayer is in the person who prayed. When we start talking about Elijah here in a minute, amen, that was able to call fire down out of heaven and God answered with fire. Amen, was able to shut heaven. Amen. By the way, if you're praying in the will of God, you're not always praying for what people want. Had a so-called the silver-haired prophet. He was a guy with snow-white hair. I was young. I was in my mid-30s, I guess, or somewhere along there. But he came to our church, and they called him the silver-haired prophet. He had all of this wisdom and all of this experience. And he came, and he prophesied over a couple of people. Of course, we were all, you know, back then. I don't even think I was 30, was I, sister? And we were in our late 20s, I guess, 26. I come to pastor when I was 26. Didn't have no silver-haired prophet. Can you say amen? We must have been in our mid-20s that happened. And he came, and here's what really put me off. This is what put me off, because I've been reading the Bible. You read your Bible, you can check out a whole lot of things and people and prophets and all kinds of angels. You can even question angels if you get down in the Word of God. And you're supposed to. If they bring another gospel, let them be anathema. You say, but Brother Bimble, they had big old wings. That's all right. A moth has wings. Brother Fry has wings. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. They're fallen angels. And listen, even if an angel bring another gospel, amen, let him be anathema. Amen. And you've got to know the gospel before you know if it's another gospel. You can't just go by the sign or what you see, but what they say. Amen. The only way you can judge an angel, if he appears to you, is when he opens his mouth. But when he opens his mouth, it's against the word of God. Listen, no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. Now, if Satan comes with a pitchfork and a pointed tail and a red jumpsuit, can you say amen, red pajamas? It'd be pretty easy to recognize him. But if he comes as an angel of light... And yet the Bible said, if an angel appears to you with another gospel, there's an absolute erroneous form of Christianity called Mormonism. And the man who got the revelation, the new insight into the New Testament, so-called, he said an angel of light appeared to him. Don Smith. Joseph Smith. He got from an angel of light. Well, then it must be. Oh, you've got books out there in the New York Times bestseller list. Into the Light is one of them. This lady said, oh, it's beautiful. Don't ever fear dying. There was a light. Well, of course there was a light. Everybody sees a light almost. Not too many people see the lake of fire. Can you say amen? If you see the lake of fire, nobody wants to hear about it. Some people see the lake of fire. Nobody wants to hear about it. Ah, but the idea that as soon as I close my eyes, I see a light. Well, of course you do. Amen. No marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. You know what this angel of light that said he was Jesus said to this lady? He said, I created all the world religions. And all of them Isn't that amazing? The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. Without the shedding of his blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen. Any man that tries to climb up any other way is a thief and a robber, because that right is his exclusively. But they claim to see an angel of light. And this is what it said. Now, when that talk starts, that's when a Christian says, no. Be gone! Honey, if we check out angels, we ought to check out preachers too. Can you say amen? And we ought to judge doctrine. People say doctrine isn't important. Doctrine is so vitally important, because false teachers are going to teach false doctrine. Can you say amen? We got to get the foundations right. When I hear people imply that you can get answers to prayer by writing a check or just a positive confession, that's all you need to do, and God now has obligated himself to do this and that and the other. I'm looking at scripture here in the Bible that says there are things that will disqualify you, and it doesn't matter if you write a $1 million check to the most fertile ministry there is. It's not about the check. It's about you and your relationship to him. You're not dealing with that evangelist. You're dealing with God. And God has spoken in his book to you and me about the things that will qualify us and the things that will disqualify us. And the reason the church jumps on that other bandwagon is you don't have to search your heart. And you don't have to correct the wrong, and you don't have to confess your sin. You just write a check. And God is now obligated. I've heard people promise that your house will be paid off before the end of the year if you'll write such and such check. And they don't even know who they're talking to. And they don't know what's going on in their life or in their heart, but there's someone who does. The Bible said there's nothing hid from the eyes of him whom we have to do. Can you say amen? Amen? I saw a preacher, he's trying to get the church to be honest before God. And he went to a large church. In fact, he went to Liberty University, and he spoke at Brother Falwell's church before he passed away. And he has a lisp, and he's had was it multiple sclerosis, whatever he had. And he's got this lisp, and he talks about his mommy and his daddy. He's childlike and sweet in his spirit. And he got up, and he had on this beautiful blue suit, white shirt, this beautiful coordinated tie. I mean, he just looked right for that pulpit at Liberty Church, and all these people fill that building. And he was talking about being honest with God and being real with God and being sincere before the Lord. And what he had done underneath, he had let his shirt tail out. He didn't put his shirt tail in. He had took a razor blade and took that nice white shirt and got it into strings. And then he got something to stain it with dark stains all from right here down. That shirt was shredded and stained. And he said, this is the me. Before he did that, he said, this is the me that you see on Sunday morning. This is how we present ourselves, we Christians. You ask anybody, how are you? I'm fine. And there's an assumption everybody's fine. We don't need to get down to the things in our personal lives. See, that makes us uncomfortable. When I have to deal with my heart attitudes, my activities, my unforgiveness, my pride, my idolatry. Amen. The Bible says all those things are issues with your God. Amen. He's not going to let them pass. He's not going to let you circumvent them by writing a check to a televangelist. I hope you've discovered that. Amen. Some people haven't. I know people that died paupers, sending every extra dime they had in the hopes of getting rich and never dealing with their pride and selfishness. Never dealing with their error. Too proud to even listen to see if it might be an error. And I've seen people try to make it work. Man at work got caught up in this mess. He decided he had to prosper. He'd been seeding. He had to prosper to prove his faith, because the people seeding to, if it don't work, say it's because you're not using your faith. So he decided to use his faith, and he come in, he was excited. What he did, he went out and he got about 12 foster kids. Now, he and his wife didn't know if they were, listen, if you get kids that have been in abused homes, you better be called to it. This house right here. Come on, I'm serious about this. You get 12 kids that's come out of Lord knows what, and they got all of these issues. You better have a calling and an anointing. You better pray about it. You don't just do it so you can get the money, so you can get the big house, so you can prove that it's working for you. And they went out and got 12 kids. I worked with him. He had a testimony at work. Lay minister. Ministering in pulpits every chance that he got. Witnessing boldly at work. 354 people knew him as a Christian. But he followed this teaching with the desire to do one thing. Prove my faith by how much I can accumulate. I've been seeding. Now I've got to do something to make it happen. So he bought a house way beyond what his salary would let him live in. And now he had to do something to get the payment. Said God gave him the house. Well, I could, you know, I got good credit. My credit rating's up there, you know, one of those real good credit ratings. I could go out and put Pamela and I, oh yes, I could come in. My Lord, there's a Cadillac Coupe de Ville sitting down there with my name on it. I can go down. I can buy. Do you know I can? Yeah. Salary? Oh, no. When you move it in faith, you don't even think about salary. We don't look at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are unseen. Did you know I can buy that Cadillac? I can buy that Cadillac. They can throw me the keys, and next week I can drive up in a Coupe de Ville. Woo! Amen. And I can go over in Plant City to Walden Lake near the golf course. I guarantee you someone is in duress looking for somebody to take over those $2,300 a month payments on that house. And I got the credit to take it on. Praise God. Amen. I can drive my Coupe de Ville in the garage of my house near the golf course. And everybody look at me. But now something's going to happen in 30 days. Can you say? Something's going to happen in 30 days. In 30 days, somebody's going to be saying, hey, the Cadillac man wants me to pay him. The bank. Amen. The bank wants the money for the house. Pamela wants the money for the groceries. The dogs want dog food. Everybody, 30 days. Yeah, the utilities, the taxes. It's like the duck who went in a restaurant and ordered this huge fish dinner, gourmet fish dinner. And when they brought him the check, he said, just put it on my bill. My bill. Could only put so much on the bill. Can you say amen? So, yeah, you won't remember nothing else, but you remember that corny joke. Here's where the error comes, and this is why, as a pastor, I have to tell the truth to people. I can't support, promote that I know is going to damage people, get them into trouble, let the devil lead them astray in the name of faith and righteousness. So he decided, he came in and he said, you got to see my house. He began to tell everybody because, see, in order to prove his faith, he had to show people his material blessings because he had been seeding into that ministry. And then when it didn't work, they told him, or they implied through one of the messages brought forth, that you're not using your faith after you give. Well, he went out by faith and got this. Now he's got to make it work. Honey, if God does it, you don't have to make it work. You don't have to do the sweat stuff. You do the light thing and God will do the heavy work. You roll the stone away. Can you say amen? Only God can raise the dead. You do the natural. God does the supernatural. And when God does it, you don't have to try to make it happen. Abraham jumped the gun. He got impatient. He decided, God said he's going to bless through my seed. I don't have any. And the biological clock is ticking. So he went and took the servant to Sarah to have a son through. And honey, what's happening in the Middle East right now is a result of a man's impatience. There's a whole nation over there. That's Abraham's seed too. Can you say amen? But there's conflict. And it began when this woman who bore him a child that Sarah would raise but kept chiding her, saying, I was able to bear him a child, and you were not. And the jealousy set up. And they had to be put away and went into the desert, started a whole other nation. Incredible what happens when we get away from God and try to take things into our own hands. Ishmael. Israel and Ishmael in conflict. Thousands of years. That was way before the 2000 started. 2,600 years. And here we are with trouble between Ishmael and Israel. The greatest trouble in the world is because of that little piece of land sitting right there. Can you say amen? So in this man's thought it was God, because the devil will always make you think it's God. If he's got you going and thinking it's God, then you'll never question yourself and you'll never question what you're doing. Never question the teaching you're getting either, or the doctrine that it's bringing you into. They got 12 foster kids because there's plenty of room in this big house. His wife was not equipped or anointed or appointed to care for foster kids. This building you're in, this was for foster kids before we edited it for what it is. This was boys and girls, 4-bathroom, 4-bedroom, kitchen. This was dining and living area here. This was a foster home. Better know what you're doing. Lady in our church, my father-in-law and mother-in-law helped her with a foster home. They did it for about a year. But after a while, it became overwhelming, and they had to check, are we called and anointed and appointed to do this? Because those kids have special needs, and the more you add to them, the more those needs get complicated. And they ended up with disciplines that were wrong. You put a kid in the closet and lock the child in because you can't cope, and the child doesn't eat right, and now it's all over the Tampa Tribune. And here are these two people that their faces pasted all over the Tampa Tribune because they begin to try to make this thing happen. Because all of these shortcuts, see, people, they that would be rich, would be, that's the goal. See, after when you prove your faith with your material possessions, when that's how you prove faith, amen, the Bible said, watch out for those that suppose that gain in and of itself is godliness. Can you say amen? Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. The Bible actually teaches if you've got food and raiment, if you have that and you have Christ and the kingdom of God, be content with such things as you have. For we brought nothing into this world. Newsflash, we're taking nothing out of this world but godliness with contentment. This is a different kingdom. You don't compete with the culture. You don't look, my son, let not thine eyes envy sinners, neither go thou after them. God has blessed me with a home and blessed us with furniture and blessed us with things that my wife was praying on the way to church. Lord, you blessed us with things we don't even need, just things that are nothing more than just blessings. But we don't have to have them. I listened to her prayer and I appreciated it. She prayed my heart. She prayed God's heart. She said, Lord, we got things that we don't have to be happy. And if we had triple salary, if we had money to do everything with, if we didn't have you where you need to be in our life, in a satisfying relationship, we wouldn't be happy. After a while, we'd wake up in that big house and our hearts would still be empty. Both of them almost went to jail. He lost his career with the company. He lost his testimony to 354 people. Child abuse and that kind of child abuse, locking in, chaining to, not feeding properly to punish. Because overwhelmed, he goes to work. She's stuck with 12 problem kids and couldn't even handle one. But we got to prove that this doctrine is correct that we have bought into. Amen. The love of money. In order to prove faith. Faith is, listen, that's why when I hear compromises to the Word of God concerning answered prayer, I'm obligated to deal with it as a pastor and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are situations in your heart and mind that God says, if that exists in your heart, until you deal with it, I'm not listening. And you can't write a televangelist a check and bypass those issues. If God says he's not going to listen, he means it. He's not like us. We tell our kids, you're going to get it when you get home. We take them to the Dairy Queen after church. Can you say, man, he's not like us. He watches over his word to perform it. We only want the good stuff. It's all of it. Can you say, man, all of it. If he says he's going to chasten you, he means it. Serious about it. I've been chastened. I expect I will be chastened again. I plan on continuing to be a son of God. I mean, plan on continuing to be a child of God. He chastens every son that he loves. If I get out of line, stay out of line, something's going to happen to bring it to my attention. I need to get back in line. And it won't be the devil either. It'll be God. Thank you for the hearty amens. We'd like to blame the devil for everything. Amen. Yeah. Some get many stripes, some get few. The choice is ours. But everybody gets chastened. Because nobody is perfect. You say, Brother Venable, I don't feel I need or will ever need a chastisement. That right there is going to get you a good whooping. Can you say amen? That attitude is going to get you a real whooping. Amen. I don't want to ride with you in the car. I don't want to go fishing with you in the boat. Amen. No, I do not. Praise God. I want to get around somebody humble, open before God, quick to repent. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody get a prayer through. Not somebody about to get a whooping. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that. Well, just go on. Go on. If you don't get a whooping, you need to get saved. Every son. But it's all good. Everybody say it's all good. Bible said don't faint when you are chastened of him. He's not like your mom and daddy when they had enough. They just got mad and whooped you. Can you say amen? No, he's not like that. Amen. He lays it on exactly for a purpose to mature us and perfect us. Praise God. It's all in love. It proves that he loves us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, we're getting into some prerequisites to answered prayer. And part of it is we got to begin to be open and honest and sincere. We can't keep this front. This man opened his coat there at Liberty University. And when he opened his coat, that beautiful suit, that beautiful tie, that beautiful knot in the tie, the shirt. When he opened the coat to that white shirt, it was streaming. Streams hanging down, soil and streams. And he said, but many times this is the real us. Underneath this front that we project is the real us. People, as long as we keep our coat buttoned up and our confession and profession, people can't see that, but God does. God knows all about that. And God wants to heal that stringiness and that soilness in our life. God wants to heal that. God wants to help us. Amen. Why do we do that? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I want to clarify this very quickly because our time's just about gone. I can't finish it today. Positional righteousness is yours when you get saved. Some people don't pursue it any further. God says it has to go beyond that. You can't just use your positional righteousness. That means you have access to God with positional righteousness. Can't get any more righteous than the blood can make you. And positionally, you're brought out of the kingdom of darkness where? Into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But there's a personal righteousness that God requires in order to listen to you when you pray. Because Jesus tells those people with positional righteousness. And when you stand praying, you have access to God because positionally he accepts you in the beloved. But he requires personal, practical righteousness in your heart. Thank you for but the hearty amens. God still wants us to live right. Can you say amen? He don't want us to live like the devil and write a check to somebody and circumvent the need to repent and get right and get more money so we can get more pride and more stiff-necked. He wants us to get real and right with him because he wants to answer prayer to help us. And he wants to be glorified, his name to be glorified in him. Listen, how many were glorifying God because of what I told you about my son? Did it lift you up? Did it lift him up? Did everybody get lifted up this morning hearing about a bona fide, qualified, supernatural intervention and answer to prayer? I meet with three other preachers and they got excited. They pray every Sunday, but to get an answer. That no one can deny is God Almighty moving. Hallelujah. We pray so many prayers that just go out and drop somewhere. And we pray by bedsides where people die. We pray in churches where we don't see any change. We pray for kids and they just get worse. Amen. But when changes come, when God steps up, when God steps in, when God supernaturally moves, it gets exciting. And I don't want somebody's little quick fix doctrine to get money. I want to get real and get right with God so he can come through again and again. I don't pray to get rich. I pray to get an answer. Being able to get an answer is what this is all about. And it's the true riches. Let me read this from the Amplified. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, and your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Everybody say tremendous power available. You know why people don't pray much? Because we don't feel tremendous power. We'd rather get in a line and be prayed for. That's where we feel like the tremendous power. It's not where it is. The most pure expression of faith is in prayer. Not in confession, but in prayer. Amen? People that don't even know how to pray and aren't even qualified to pray if they tried to pray because of unforgiveness, because of secret sin unconfessed, want to bypass all of that and put a scripture on a refrigerator and confess it every day and use their faith to get answers. And somebody's not dealing with these other issues. You send the check, they don't care if you're in sin. You send the check, they don't care if you're standing in unforgiveness. You send the check, they don't care that you're going to get chastened because you're in direct rebellion and disobedience. They don't care if idols live in your heart. And one of them is that you want to be the big shot and the big cheese. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. They're not going to deal with the issue of pride. The only issue is you plant the seed, you get your need met. They don't know who you are. They don't know your heart. They don't know your life circumstance. But God does. And God is not going to do what they say against his own word. He didn't make any of those promises or claims to you. Amen? This is more than a faith issue. Faith has never bore this thing alone. It's more than a confession. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. He's faithful, that promise, that you can name it and claim it using that. That's about confessing your salvation. That's about confessing Christ before men. It's not about calling money into existence. Confessing Christ before men is more important than calling cars into existence. Your profession of faith is the faith that was delivered to the saints. It's that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me and made me whole. Hold that fast, because God is faithful to honor the blood of Jesus and what it's accomplished at the cross. In the context it's written, it has nothing to do with getting things. It has everything to do with confessing what you have in Christ spiritually. Thank you for the hearty amen. You say, but that tape I heard. See, that's it. You listen to a tape. You need to read that book. I don't want the tape. Don't ever hand it to me. I won't pass it on. I'll put it in the garbage can where it belongs. I've known people seed for 20 years. and nothing's happened yet, but they're too proud to admit it's wrong. Won't even question it. 20 years! 20 years of error, but too proud to admit it. It's going to come one of these days. No, it's not. Not until we get right with God, and that pride is going to keep God from even correcting us. Amen? Well, it gets quiet. Everybody wants a prayer line. Everyone wants a preacher to just, through the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. Yeah, but there's things that has nothing to do. There's things the anointing can't do and isn't supposed to do, and God won't let it do. There's things that require we get right and real with God. Amen? When you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive. What happens if you don't? Don't matter how much you gave to the television. What happens if you don't forgive your enemy? God won't forgive you. What happens if he don't forgive you? Do you think you got a leg to stand on when you go to ask him for your needs met? You'd have to be sinlessly perfect. Newsflash. Nobody in this room is that way. We got to have grace. The throne we come to is called the throne of grace. And when we come to it, we come to obtain not just an answer, but grace and mercy to help us in the time of need. And listen to this. Only the merciful can get mercy. Yeah. If you're not merciful enough to forgive, God's not going to be merciful at that throne. In fact, he said, here's what you're going to meet. The same judgment, mark it down, the same judgment you meet without is going to be meted right back to you. I'll never forgive them. God says, okay, there you are. I can't afford that. Brother Vimba, you don't know what they did. It's not what they did to you. It's what he did for you at the cross. The cross demands that you not withhold it. Hallelujah. If we keep justifying sin, we'll never get free from it. And God said, my ears are not heavy that they cannot hear. My hand is not short that it cannot deliver. But your sin is separated between you and your God. Amen. The church needs to come back to a place that we can confess our sins, get right with God, get real with God, so God can be real to us. God wants to move. God wants to answer. God loves you. And he wants to be glorified in the answer. He wants you and me to be known as people who have a God that distinguishes himself by power. Hallelujah. A God who answers by fire. A God who comes through. A God who does phenomenal things. Holiness is a lost subject in the Church of Jesus Christ. But God has never and will never lower the standard. Can you say, man, the Word of God is not to be toyed with, played with, manipulating people. Amen. So we dare not offend anybody we're depending on to make us millionaires. If they quit giving, we won't have it. Because believe me, God didn't grant it when we misuse the Word of God and abuse it like that and set people up for failure. Can you say, man? And then they blame them for it. Don't need a lot of faith when you're in the will of God. God would be silly, and he's not, to not answer a prayer that's in his purpose. This is the confidence we have in him. If we give this much to this, we're going to get... No, if we ask anything according to his will, we know what? The real issue of prayer, we know that what? He hears us. And if he hears us, in other words, if you qualify to pray to where God said, when you pray, I'm going to listen, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Amen. Availeth much. It's mighty in its working. Praise God. Hallelujah. You bring your gift to the altar. I'll enumerate these when we have time to teach, but Jesus said, everybody say Jesus said. We've got so much of what somebody else said, we don't even know what Jesus said. But when somebody else is saying conflicts with what he said, I'm going with Jesus. How about you? Well, here's what Jesus said. Said, oh, they don't preach that at my church. Well, they're not telling you what Jesus said, and they ought to tell you what he said. He's your Lord. He's your Lord. Not that guy, not that gal with the anointing. Jesus is Lord. Jesus said, when you bring your gift to the altar, coming before the presence of God with your service, with your money, with your whatever, your praise. When you bring your gift to my altar, Jesus said, say it with me, Jesus said. And you know that you've done your brother wrong. You know that you need to apologize. You know that you've defrauded somebody. You know that you've spoken angrily and never made it right. He said, leave your gift at the altar. I'm not accepting it. That's a lot more than writing a check, isn't it? You have to get a lot deeper and closer when you're dealing with God than dealing with somebody who just wants your money. God wants your life yielded. God wants your heart purified. God wants your mind clean. God wants you bowed before him. God wants you like his son. Not the same old self with a bigger house and the same old self with a bigger car. And by the way, when all these other things get where they're supposed to be, God don't have any problem with a house or a car. But when the kingdom isn't first, he isn't first. When he isn't first, no house, no car is ever going to make you happy. Amen. It's not just that he's going to be unhappy. You're not going to be happy either. I've seen people who lived in big houses, but they were not homes. Amen. There's a big difference between a house and a home. We first got married, we lived in a 60 by 12 trailer. Was that the first one? 60? No, yeah, we rented the other one, the little T90 one. This was a 60 by 12. We moved up. We got us a, it wasn't no motor home neither, and it wasn't no modular home. Amen. It was a trailer. It had wheels under it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was 60 by 12. Oh, my goodness, 60 by 12. Oh, the room we have in here. 60 by 12. Can you imagine the room? When we moved out of a 30 by 10, I don't know. We were moving up in the room to the east side to a brand new mobile home. Yeah, yeah, it was on the east side of Tampa. It was Dover. We moved to Sugar Sand Acre on Dover. Dover, oh my, had a 60 by 12. Moving on up to the east side to my brand new mobile home in Dover. It wasn't new neither, but it was bigger than what we had. Hallelujah. But you know something? We were new Christians. We were new believers. We had Jesus. We didn't know what we didn't have. We were so enthralled with what we did have. Looking back on it, I thought we were living hand to mouth. I got paid every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks. Boy, when I first got paid, we ate one of them cheap steaks. My wife could tenderize some of that old tough meat. Adolf's tenderizer, the only thing Hitler ever did that was any good for anybody. Can you shake that on, and amen. And then she beat it with a mallet. She'd take that old bad piece of meat and beat it with a mallet and put that Adolf's tenderizer on it, amen, and then cook it it's about lunchtime, you can tell, amen, amen, tomatoes and green peppers, and then you just let it simmer until it's really, and that old piece of meat you couldn't chew up, now you could just, it melting in your mouth with that gravy on it, and put some of that on the mashed potato, and we just rejoiced in the Lord. The Lord gave us this, the Lord took care of us, and we're not having to compromise. See, the good news is, what we had, we didn't have to compromise to get, and we showed him we were happy with what we had because we had him, and it wasn't long till he gave us a double-wide trailer. Glory be to God. When you move out of a 60 by 12 into a double wide, woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We went to the parsonage first, but it was a big parsonage, big wooden parsonage. So holes in the floor and ceiling stuff, but it was big and it was roomy. Hallelujah. But God was good. Hallelujah. God blessed, and we were happy. We were so happy. Praise God, we were happy. I went to work happy. I came home happy. Praise God. I lived happy, and I never had to compromise the kingdom to be happy and to be blessed. Hallelujah. And God kept on promoting and promoting and promoting. We don't live by the golf course today, but I'm happy. And we were just counting our blessings this morning. I say, God, I'm so glad I didn't get in this for the wrong reason. I'm glad I got in it for the right reason. I'm glad I'm following you for the right reason. I'd rather have my prayer answered. Hallelujah. And see my son set free than to live in a big house on the golf course and to drive the Coupe de Ville. But that's just me. Can you say amen? I don't speak for everybody. I'd rather have a hotline to heaven. A God who hears me when I pray. Than to have a Rolex to show you how prosperous I am. I wish somebody would give me a Rolex so I could sell it and buy me a new pickup truck. I can use the pickup truck. Get me one like my brother's back there. He almost provoked me to envy. But I held it back and blessed God for my S10. 93 S10 that everybody wants to use. Saw a sign the other day on a truck, a big, beautiful truck like yours, only bigger wheels and shiny, shiny rims. And it said, at the hospital I saw this. It said, yes, this is my truck. And no, you can't borrow it to move. Just God didn't want nobody scarring up his truck. My truck is scarred already. So anybody can move and do anything. Praise God. Park it by the buggy thingy at Walmart, Wally World. And not worry about somebody scraping it. Another scratch won't even notice. God has been good to me. I'm not preaching poverty either. I'm preaching kingdom first. When the kingdom is first, your Father knows what you have need of. He knows what it takes to make you happy. And if you're happy in Jesus, it won't take a whole lot. Believe it or not, having food and raiment, you can find contentment in life. If you find contentment in life, you're richer than some of the richest people in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The great issue of answered prayer is not faith alone, nor positive confession alone. They're distinct attitudes of the heart and activities in the life that hinder prayer or open the floodgates of heaven. You know something that hinders prayer? Bible uses the exact term. 1 Peter, relationship of husband and wife. God says he wants you to live together in harmony. Listen, lest your prayers be hindered. So where would the devil aim his wedge? You don't just have to attack your faith, because your faith isn't the biggest issue. When you're right with God, don't take a lot of faith to get a mountain move. You have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Mountains can move. Amen. But if he can get us in disagreement, if he can get us in disharmony, the Bible said, lest your prayers be hindered. Well, writing a check to the evangelist isn't going to resolve the issues between my wife and I. We have to get down before God and get down to business about this thing. Amen. Writing a check to the televangelist isn't going to resolve the issue of my unforgiveness. I'm not going to forgive Mike. He did something somewhere back there, which is not true. But listen, amen, if I hold that against him and I hold it in my heart, God said, don't you come here trying to pray. But I wrote a check to brother so-and-so and I planted it in fertile soil. He said, I don't just want a check from you. I want obedience from you. I want to purify your heart. Can you see, you understand what I'm saying? Jesus, everybody say Jesus said. Jesus. I want what Jesus said. Right. To outweigh and override what anybody else says, including me. I want to tell you what Jesus said. And I believe he means what he says. Can you say amen? I've heard sinners claim that God was answering their prayers. The Bible said we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth, and doeth his will. Not my will, thine is a valid foundational place to really get answers in your life. I went to a radio station, and I was looking for a station to go on the air for years and years ago, and I prayed about it, felt the unction of God to go, knew the Lord opened doors, and no man. But you know, even knowing that, when I knocked on a door and nobody would, I was sure this was the station. I thought, this is going to be the station. This is a powerful station. and this is a price competitive station. If I get on this station, well, I can reach so many people for God. And I knocked on the door. They wouldn't even come to the door. And I was so disappointed and disheartened. I thought, they won't even come. It's convenient to get to, but they won't even come to the door. They won't even let me in, Lord. Thought you would open a door. And then he spoke to me. He said, I told you I would open a door and no man would shut it, and I would shut a door and no man would open it. I said, well, maybe this is your shut door. How could God be smarter than me? So I often scratch my head. How could he possibly be smarter than me? I know this has got to be God. No, I don't. You don't know till you bow. So many people trying to force God to do what they believe is him and cannot accept that it's not him. But then he encouraged me after he whooped me. He said, with his word, he said, I set before thee an open door. And I thought, well, if you do, this ain't it. He said, right, but this is not the only door. And I went to the station downtown Tampa that I didn't like to drive down there. I didn't like to navigate in the morning to go into that studio and make a broadcast. WSOL. It wasn't pure Christian either. It's half a day Spanish, half a day Christian. I went to that station. When I got to that station, I was welcomed with open arms. I found out the station manager was a lady who used to go to gospel sings and play the piano, dedicated Christian woman. Hallelujah. Amen. Knew me, knew my daddy, could verify my ministry, went on 5 days a week. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God opened the door. And God provided for every bit of it. Not because I twisted his arm, but because I bowed and accepted his will. Amen? Some people want to just storm hell when prayers are not answered. As if the devil is the only issue, that your flesh is a non-issue. Did you know putting your armor on to fight the devil when you got issues in your heart, you've already given ground to the devil. I hear people binding devils, but they never crucify flesh. Huh? How can you bind? The devil laugh in your face. Amen? Everything's not the old devil. God chastens his children. Read the history of Israel. They're the chosen. We're the wild olive branch. And the Bible said, don't you take grace and try to abuse God's holiness and righteousness with it. If he cut them off that sinned, and you're a wild olive branch grafted in by grace, don't think you can do what they did without facing God's judgments. I want his mercy. How about you? I need his grace. I want to see my prayers answered. I want to see my God glorified. I want to hear people maybe of a different faith talking about our God is the true and living God. My son's made it clear. My daddy's a preacher. I have given my heart to Christ. He's telling everybody that. He sees things on TV, and he said to the people that he's testifying to, I can't see my daddy doing that. I know my daddy would never do that. You know why? Because he knows there's a real. There's a genuine. Can you say amen? And he knows what happened to him, and it was real, and it was genuine. Now I'm going to say something to everybody in here. Nobody in here is above self-searching. There's not a person with a calling, an anointing, a revelation. Doesn't matter how long you've been on the road, it's how far you've traveled. Can you say amen? No one in this room is above doing what David did and getting before God and opening his heart and saying, search me, O Lord. If there's anything between me and you, I want you to reveal it to me because I want to deal with it. I don't want to ever get in the position where I can't touch you and you can't touch me. I'm desperate for you as the heart pants after the water brooks. I don't want a wedge between my wife and I because my faith, no matter how I grow it and build it, the Bible said my prayer is going to be hindered if we don't get our act together. We're one. We're not two people just going to do our thing. We are one. God looks at us as a unit. Amen. And we need to start acting like it, living like it. And I am the head of my house. Oh, yes, I'm the head of my house. She's glad. She hands things over to me that she don't want to deal with. Amen. But I want to tell you something else. My wife is not some mousy little lady either. I want her agreement. I covet her prayers. I want her faith blended with mine. I don't want to lord my headship over her. I need a partner in my life. Can you say amen? If two of us on earth, me and her, shall agree as touching anything we, me and her. Amen. This is the first two we should think of if you're married. Can you say amen? Not me and that evangelist, me and this preacher, but me and her. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is where the devil wants the wedge, and this is where we're determined to keep it out. If we agree is touching anything that we shall ask, it'll be given us of our Father which is in heaven. Can you say amen? I want that harmony, that agreement in my home. Gonna fight the devil. Amen. Gonna win the battle. Gonna defeat the flesh. Gonna stand as one and see our kids saved. Hallelujah! See our son healed instead of dying before his daddy. Woo! Don't want to bury my son. Want my son burying me. God is great. God is good. And God wants to move, but he needs us to cooperate with him. So how many is interested in being taught what the barriers are and how to get rid of them? How many want to hear it? How many know it's going to be like nailing some flesh to a cross? Can you say, man, how many willing to crucify the flesh so that you can see God move? Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, if we can get prayers answered, revival is going to come automatically. Whatever it takes to get prayers answered will produce a Holy Ghost revival. Because when we get thoroughly right with God, there's nothing to grieve the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that will quench the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that will hinder God from moving to us and through us. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. God will open the windows of heaven. Let it rain. Will you, in closing, let it rain. Open the windows of heaven. Don't ever look at Malachi 3 without reading Malachi 1. This is not just about money, church. This is about honoring God. It's not about just writing a check. It's about bowing. It's about putting him first. It's about having no other gods before him. Can you say amen? When that happens, the Father knows what we have need of. Can you say amen? And it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And you don't have to compromise. Amen. Some of you in here have things in your heart. God has put his finger on it. It's uncomfortable, I know. If I needed surgery to remove a malignant tumor, it would be uncomfortable. But I'm going to tell you something. I would go. I wouldn't want the doctor to not do what was necessary for me to live and not die. How about you? If it's in there and it's malignant and it's going to kill me, cut it out. Amen? Cut it out. Get it out of my heart. Get it out of my brain. Get it out of wherever it is. Unforgiveness is a spreading tumor. Bitterness will grow into a tree that will bind you. God wants it out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he's here today to cleanse our hearts. So he can open the windows of heaven. Brother, let it play. Will you stand to your feet? Let's worship in this one song in closing.